him, said to the Jews, this stuff doesn't match up with what we know is from God. Furthermore, there are doctrinal errors in the Apocrypha. And I'm talking about this. You might be thinking, why are we talking about this? I don't really care about these. Well, if you ever talk with one of your Catholic friends, it might become an issue. Because 11 of these books have been inserted in the Catholic Bible. It was done in the 1500s, to be precise, April 8, 1546, in the fourth session of the Council of Trent. Now, if these books were compellingly inspired, why did it take them 1,500 years to get them incorporated into their Bible? What was going on in the 1500s in Europe? The Reformation. And the Reformation, led by men like Martin Luther, John Calvin, Luther Zwingli, what were these men doing? They were rediscovering the Bible. And they were saying, the Bible teaches differently than the church does, and the church needs to get back to the Bible. Purgatory is nowhere in the Bible. Praying for the dead is nowhere in the Bible. Well, guess where you can read about purgatory and praying for the dead? In the Apocrypha. So, the church gets together and says, oh, after all, these are Scripture. And so now suddenly, the church can defend the indefensible with Scripture. I don't mean to disparage them, but that's what was going down, it appears. These books were rejected for their doctrinal errors. I mean, they have things like an angel of God telling a man, okay, when you get that fish, I want you to take its heart and liver out. The man says to the angel, what am I going to do with the heart and liver? The angel says, all right, well, you're going to make smoke out of these, and smoke from the heart and liver of a fish will drive away demons. That's right out of Tobit chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It teaches praying for the sins of the dead, making monetary offerings on their behalf. Sounds like indulgences. Here's some money, Lord. And because of this money, that's going to help our friend who is dead. And he'll have a better resurrection now because of the money we've given you. It has the heroine, the woman hero of the book of Judith, praying to God that he will use the deceit of my lips to smite her enemies. Use my lies to conquer my enemies. Is God interested in lies? It's impossible for God to lie. So this, because of these doctrinal errors, the Jews saw this does not belong in with the rest of the Bible. Something else. The Old Testament Apocrypha, all those books, they never claimed to be inspired. It's interesting. The expression, hear the word of the Lord. Just do a search in your Bible program or on one of your apps. It is all over the Old Testament. The Old Testament's always saying that. Hear the word of Jehovah. Hear the word of Jehovah. That expression never appears in the Apocrypha. In fact, the Apocryphal writers seem to have been making considerable efforts to not claim inspiration. And in the Apocrypha, they even say that there were no prophets at the time. This is true in 1 Maccabees a number of times. Jesus never quoted from the Apocrypha. He never alluded to the Apocrypha, though he quoted and alluded to the Old Testament books. The apostles never cited or alluded in their preaching and teaching to the Apocrypha. So all these things taken together convince the Jews and convince us these books aren't inspired. So we don't have 1st and 2nd Maccabees and Tobit and Judith and Bel and the Dragon and 1st and 2nd Esdras and all those in our Bibles. Just as an aside, in a Catholic Bible, they don't have the Old Testament and then the Apocrypha and the New Testament. You know what they do? They, at least not for all of them, they take these apocryphal books and they blend them in with the Old Testament. And they'll take this one little book and they'll put it right at the end and they'll make it Daniel chapter 13. And this thing becomes Daniel chapter 14. They take non-inspired words and they insert them with inspired words. What does the book of Revelation say about those who would add to God's prophecies? And his book name will be blotted out from the book of life. When the Bible talks about not adding to, this is the very sort of thing it's talking about. Now, what about the New Testament in like the... Can we take a few extra minutes maybe? Like two or three? Would that be okay? Are you guys okay with it? Yes, Mark. Yes. Yes, and that gets inserted. Let me check this right quick since you asked. Yes, you have the letter of Jeremiah, which is one of the apocryphal books, and it sometimes gets incorporated as the last chapter of Baruch. And I don't think Baruch gets connected to Jeremiah in their Bibles, but yes, there is a supposed book of Baruch. Okay. I guess I'm just going to say these things because I don't want to be unfair to other teachers, and I don't want to be unfair to you. If you want to talk to me after the fact, we can talk about it during the panel discussion. We can do that. But insofar as the New Testament is concerned, one thing is very clear. As you read through the New Testament books, they were presented as authoritative from the very outset. 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul says, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." Now, that claim doesn't make it so inherently, but the New Testament books make this claim. Those apocryphal books never made such claims. From the very beginning, the New Testament writers, the apostles and prophets, said, "We speak the Word of God." Paul commanded that his letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, be given to the church at Laodicea to read, and he said, "The church of the Laodiceans, you need to read it. What I have written is from God." 1 Thessalonians 5:27, he tells the church at Thessalonica, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle, I charge you, I command you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren." Claims of inspiration were being made, and they were received as authoritative. Peter quotes Paul, and he calls Paul's writings Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3. Jude quotes the words of Peter. And Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, in 1 Timothy, Paul quotes Jesus, Luke chapter 10, verse 7, and says it's Scripture. So not only were the New Testament writers claiming to speak from God and for God, but the other New Testament writers were acknowledging the writings of the others and saying, yes, that's from God. Yes, that's Scripture. So there is cohesion in that respect. They were all claiming to speak from God by inspiration, and they were accepting the writings of each other. And it was acknowledged as authoritative by the next generation. And I've got a chart that maybe we can show a little bit later if you'd like to take a look at it here. But Clement of Rome, for example, in 95 AD, he is an elder of the church at Rome. It's really cool. I don't generally encourage people to read the so-called apostolic fathers, but 1 Clement, it's worth a read. It's not inspired, but it's worth a read. It is an elder of the congregation at Rome. He still calls bishops and presbyters. He uses them interchangeably. The government of the church was still the way it ought to be in Rome. And the church at Corinth was having problems again. 40 years after Paul had written them the first time, they're having problems again. There are a bunch of young people, or some young people, in the congregation. And this is no assault at you. But there are some young people in the congregation who are rejecting and trying to oust the eldership at Corinth. And the elders at Rome hear about it. And they write a letter, not to say, you know, we speak for God. Clement never claims for that. But he basically gives this long sermon, quoting from the Bible, the New Testament, right and left, the book of Hebrews, the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Romans. He's quoting all these books that you and I hold as authoritative. He cites them as Scripture, and he's calling upon the Corinthians, think this through. This is not right. And I think there may be some evidence that it worked. Yeah, which is, they need to read 1 Clement. He did not see government that way. Yes. By the way, that list of popes, that has changed down through the years. I mean, you look at it and you go, wow, they seem to have some history here. The thing is, that list has changed I don't know how many times. Yeah. So we'll close quickly with this. What were the criteria of canonicity for those in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century? They had all these books. How could they know that something was truly from God? Well, number one, you had the apostles. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you. The apostles could do miracles that no one else could do. It's only the apostles who raise the dead after Jesus goes to heaven. It's only the apostles who we see passing on the Holy Spirit. Paul says, you saw this. You know I'm an apostle. So the early church had this to go on. They had men who claimed to be from God and who had the power to show it. So when they got writings that had the apostles' name on them, or writings from men that the apostles signed off on, they saw that those writings had authority. And there's a lot more that we can say about this, but I'm closing quickly. They also looked for antiquity. Antiquity does not make something authoritative, but if a writing did not come from the first century when the apostles were walking the earth and when the Holy Spirit was miraculously at work among the church. Well, they had a hard time buying into it. They would also look to see if it upheld orthodoxy. That is to say, they knew, according to Jude, that God had delivered the faith once for all. And that that faith would be consistent with itself. And if they had writings, as many claimed scriptures did, or there were many claimed scriptures, if they had writings that did not match up with what the apostles had already revealed, they knew it was wrong. And by the way, last thing, that is exactly how God wants us to operate. If you read the first few verses of Deuteronomy chapter 13, Moses told the people of Israel, God told them through Moses, if you have a man who comes along and he claims to be a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he is even able to work a wonder, in other words, he at least appears or he does have power, that still doesn't mean he's from me. God says, if he's doing these things, but then he teaches you a false doctrine, do not hear him. The Lord your God is testing you. And so God has set it up so that we compare new writings with the ones we already know came from him. And if they don't line up, they're not scripture. Whatever claims someone may be able to make. Thank you for the extra 5 minutes. You've got a break.
Thanks, John.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've heard that canon idea.
Yeah.
We don't use that one that very often, but wait, so how many original apostasy did you say there was?
Original what?
Didn't you say it was the Catholic Church put in what in the Old and New Testament they added to it?
Oh, the Apocrypha is the word.
Sorry. How many was there originally?
You mean Old Testament books?
No, the actual Apocrypha.
15.
And you said they only inserted 11.
Yeah.
Is there a reason?
Yeah, there is.
There's stuff they didn't like.
Exactly. They wanted to be able to uphold, it appears, the praying for the dead. So they accepted one of the books that upheld praying for the dead. But one of the other books taught against praying for the dead, so they left it out. There seems to have been an obvious effort here. We're trying to find something that will make us look legitimate.
I was going to say, I don't know how this wouldn't have been obvious to people, but at least look into it.
Now, it was a different place in Europe in the 16th century. You know,
most people probably didn't even know that they put them in there.
It's probably true for me.
Anybody that wasn't a priest didn't have access to the Bible.
Now, by that time, you were getting the Bible in the language of people a little bit. But, yeah, there was so much ignorance.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you said 11, I thought you said a little bit more than that
first
time. So
yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
They took what would help them, and they rejected that which didn't.
Yeah, I'm
notice,
not class.
You
thanks
kind
for
kind
you,
of
Justin.
Funny. Hypocrisy.
Apocrypha.
Really
hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
Ooh.
You know, kind of, I mean, as soon as you said that, I was like, hypocrisy, you know.